This tape is made as part of a joint project of the Branch County Historical Society and the Branch County Library. The tape is being made on September 14th, 1979, and the man interviewed is Boris Perkovsky, who lives at Archer Lake in Quincy Township, Branch County, Michigan. The interviewer is Cranston Wilcox, member of the Historical Society.
Well, very interested recently in many of the Russian activities and relationships, and one especially has been the Vlasova, did I say that right?
Vlasova
case, where, as you recall, the plane was delayed until the State Department could determine whether or not they thought she was going back to Russia voluntarily. So we'd like your reactions to this whole affair based on your experiences with the communists.
Well, first I want to say that this is my only opinion.
Good.
Maybe we don't disagree with some other sources. But anyway, Alexander Goronov, the husband of Vlasova, defected to the United States. So did several other big dancers from the Soviet Union, which shows that after they came to the United States, they see the freedom an artist could express himself.
Oh, yes.
From what I heard and read, an artist in the Soviet Union is just like a laborer who has to do the things he is told. He can't create his own things. I know it from experience when I was still in Europe, in Latvia, that the poets who would create poetry or novels, they had still to follow the line of the state. They could not criticize, well, it's one would be one word, but actually they could not create something which maybe the state didn't like. Well, for that matter, you have Solzhenitsyn,
right,
who was dispelled out of the Soviet Union because he wrote things which was not favorable to the communist state.
When you say, when I think something would need cleared up, I'll just ask you now, when you say the Soviet government, are you talking now, is that the same thing as the Communist Party?
Well, the Communist Party, yes. The Communist Party is just a party like we have here, several parties in our country. But there is just one party. There is no election like in that sense like we have. There's just one party, and that is the leading party, naturally, and that is what the government is.
I see. Okay.
Of course, it's controlled and watched by the KGB, which is a secret service of the Soviet Union.
A police outfit?
Well, I would say maybe similar to like FBI or something like that.
Yes, yes.
In that respect. Yes. It would be a secret service for that. Now, going back to the defection of Alexander Godunov. And why was his wife going back? This is the question you asked me.
This is exactly.
Yeah. This is the interesting thing. Now, I can tell only these things. In first place, what I read again or heard on the news was that their marriage was a marriage of convenience in first place. Because in the Soviet Union, the living spaces are so small that if a person he has to live with his parents, his brothers, aunts, and what have you. When he gets married, and he has a better chance to find a small apartment.
Very interesting point.
Yes, and this is one reason why, to my estimate, is that they did not have this communication, because the question is very simple. Why a husband and wife don't defect together? They sit in different hotel rooms. He mentioned that it was sporadic, you say?
Yeah.
Of a sudden, he decided he's going to defect. Naturally, I'm pretty sure he has talked to Barishnikov, the one defected before him, and maybe Nureyev, another dancer, or just plain maybe American ballet dancers. And they told him how things go in here, and maybe he just see the light to one defect.
One quick question. Did he speak English?
He speaks English, but not too good.
But enough to communicate, like you said.
Yes, he does. He does. Now, the Soviet Union made a statement that he was promised a pile of gold and I don't know how much whiskey, whatever it is. Well, this is a bunch of baloney, you know, which is not true. But I presume that people would talk to him, and he maybe did that, that he decided that he just as well leave it. But the one thing I don't understand, why he could not communicate with his wife. Now, go to his wife, Ludmila Vlasova. Did return back to the Soviet Union, apparently on her own free will. Again, there is this question. She was not forced,
Physically forced.
No, she was not apparently drugged. Well, comes a thing to my mind. This Lithuanian sailor who defected from the Soviet fishing boat to Coast Guard, and he was forcefully carried back to the ship. So this was not the case with Ludmila, no. The only thing is, when they sent a group to the United States to work in art or music or whatever, they always have their KGB agents along. And I can say that for sure, because when I watched the TV, I don't think everybody noticed that, then when the dance troupe and the people was walking down New York streets, window shopping or shopping, then the reporter came up to ask him questions. And first there was a man who told him in Russian, since I speak understand perfectly Russian, he said, "Don't pay any attention to them, don't answer any question." And that was talked not in like an advisory, but it was an authoritative voice.
Orders,
right. And then the reporter was shown, and that picture showed that clearly, and he spoke in English. He said, "There are no troubles with us, there are troubles with you," he mentioned, told those reporter. So you can see that these men are around. And from all what I read, again, they took, after her husband defected, the troop, I have to mention, continued the tour. They went to Chicago. But the wife was hustled back to the Soviet Union. And right away there was like in between 6 to 8 people around her who got her on the plane. Now, to say a little bit critical about the United States would be this, that they did not talk to her before she boarded the plane, which is actually a Soviet Union plane. And it's kind of hard to do something after a person already is on the, so to speak, on the soil of the Soviet Union.
Very difficult for the person.
Right.
Very difficult.
Right. So, what I think is that the agents was persuading her and telling her that she should return one thing, I think, because her mother is there. And why am I motivate this thing here? Because when she arrived in Moscow and you showed it, she told her mother, "Mother, don't cry, I'm back. Don't cry, I'm back."
Good point.
So this is very much like that they was telling her. Another thing, the latest news I heard, that she was told that she is going to get better pay and better ways of working there. So that's what I think the reason why she went back and her husband stayed here.
Well, that's really extremely interesting, and
well,
it's a different viewpoint than it's sort of inside information that I'm sure the average person on the street would have no way of knowing.
Yeah. Really. Through all these years when I'm here, there have been quite few cases where people defected, some successfully, some not, and I can't recall anymore the names, but I read, since I'm reading besides the American paper here, I read also our paper in exile, like they call it, the Latin or the Russian paper, and they write sometimes about people which are not mentioned even here in the news. And as a matter of fact, a young man escaped from a traveler, from a fishing boat, and jumped near Sweden's coast, and they interviewed him and so on, and then he was telling all about the situation in Latvia.
Was he successful to get
to? Yes, he got out into Sweden, and he was given the asylum. But you remember that case where that Lithuanian man jumped, and the American put him, the commander put him back on ship. Now, there was some heads rolling after that. And I think this is one reason why now it's very careful about this case. Well, in this case, it was a little bit too slow, I guess. But otherwise, they don't want anymore that somebody goes up there and forced.
You make a very good point that they did try to do, after they were slow, but after they caught on that they better move, they did.
And yes.
They did try harder than I think I've ever seen him try before to make sure. But you bring up the point, certainly well taken, that they really had undoubtedly had something over her head.
Yes, I'm pretty sure it was this time not like her case where they drugged a person, he was like drunk and he was taken on a plane. No, she was okay, but she was persuaded, you know, was told, if she stays, then something might happen. And I know cases where people come out from the Soviet Union to visit United States. They never can come out here as a family. Always somebody is, so to speak, a hostage there.
That's exactly.
Well, in fact, we have here one man in Coldwater whose brother worked in Siberia, in the Soviet Union, and he is here, and he visited him in Romania or Bulgaria. No, it doesn't matter. In one of the satellite states where the Soviets allow to come out from one end or from the other end. But he had to leave his family home. He could not come with the whole family to visit him because they're afraid that people defect. And you can see about communism here. The people going away from there. I'm not talking about the Jewish people who are running away. But what about Berlin Wall? Why would they have to put a wall?
This, you remember the classic statement by President John Kennedy when he was visiting Berlin?
Yes.
The Germans were questioning him about some of the problems in the United States, and he said, "We have lots of problems in this country." He said, "We haven't yet had to build a wall to keep our people in."
That's right. That's
I think
right.
That's pretty well said.
That's right. That's what I'm surprised about some people here in the United States who are talking against the country and having here this Communist Party and so forth. It's just...
They don't have enough...
If they don't like it, they could go up there and they would find out. I knew it. I've been there. Luckily, I was just... beginning, when I was born in Russia, well, still during the Tsar time, and don't remember nothing, but I was 5 years old when I was taken out of the country during communist time already, so I don't remember too much, but I know I was always hungry. That was one thing, I remember that.
You can always remember something.
When I came to Latvia, the first thing what it was, the farmer brought apples to the train, and so that was the first thing. And the second time, the Soviets took over our country. Then I remember all the things and how they deported 60,000 people to Siberia.
Well, what year was that, do you recall?
That was in 1940, yeah. In 2 days' time, they deported 60,000 people.
We get just a glimpse of that in the news. I can remember a newscast back then. I don't know whether it was Latvia or where, but it showed them loading them on freight cars.
Yeah.
And but you see, it's not very vivid. And this is why we have lost, I think, our perspective. And that's why we like to talk to people like you to get back this perspective, to really know what we have here, see?
I think that the American people wised up finally, but during the war, they always thought of the Soviets some, oh, big Joe and so on, and they were very naive to my estimate.
Well,
but now they start wised up and they see like Berlin is now taken and can't do nothing there and lots of other things going on.
Well, we heard a lot about the tremendous fighting power of the Russians at Stalingrad, you know, the siege of Stalingrad, and since they were fighting Russia, or since they were fighting Germany like we were, right. It's sort of, but where we really got clipped, as you indicated, is we trusted them so far, and then we sort of lost to them when we came together there, and they took Eastern Germany.
We believed too much what they promised. I personally would not believe a thing what they say. Is that now about the last of this question?
Just a minute. No. It would be very interesting if we could have you tell us your background from the time you were born in Russia right on through. And when you're doing this, feel free to comment any way you want to on your experiences, as you do in your conversation to me about how you feel about the Russian communist regime and so forth.
Well, I'm born in Petershof, which is Tsar summer residence, was a Tsar summer residence near Petersburg, which they call now Leningrad. And my father was there, a high-ranking officer in the Tsar Guard. When after the revolution broke out, and I was 5 years old, my mother took me to Latvia.
Was this about 1918?
That is 20.
1920.
Yeah, 1920-21, I guess. And my father was still fighting in a white Russian against the red communists in a revolution. So we got into Latvia because that was a birthplace of my father, and the Soviets let us out, mother and me. Well, I went through all the schooling there, studied agriculture in the Academy of Agriculture in Latvia.
Was this an independent country then?
Yes, it was an independent country. By the way, our last president studied here at the Wayne University in Detroit.
Well.
Yes. And he brought in the 4-H club, introduced that to our, and we called the 4-H club Muspox, which means small people.
Yes.
I belong to that too, by the way. Well, then when the Soviets occupied our country in 1940 and held it for over a year until the Germans came in and drove them out. Then, during the war, I was then in Latvia, had to work, and finally the Germans made us to go to Germany. There, I was in Germany, in the workforce, and after the war, I met my parents, who was came after me to Germany. And finally, after quite a struggle in 49, I was sponsored by Mr. Schrobetis, Gordon, Mr. Schrobetis, to the United States, to Branch County.
What part of Germany? Excuse me, what part of Germany were you in?
I was living in near Stuttgart.
Is that Esslingen. West?
That is south. That is Württemberg-Baden, not too far from Munich.
But it is in what's called Western Germany now.
Yeah, that is was American occupied there.
Yes.
Well, what can I say? I used to work there in a post censor. I was had to
post office.
Post office censor.
Yes.
That is reading letters. Since I speak three languages besides English, then
that's German and Russian and
Latvian.
Right.
That's my main language, Latvian. And then finally, I got to United States, and here I'm now for 30 years, and I'm retired now, and very happy to be in this country. Have a nice family, have a nice home, and
you sure you have a nice home here? The beautiful view over Archer Lake, which
I'm very
people could envy.
Thankful to be here.
The method interests me of how it should be recorded, I think, is what was the arrangement by which you came? You said Mr. Schlebetis, Gordon Schlebetis, sponsored you. Now, was this an arrangement whereby there was an interchange?
Yes. Sir,
don't understand.
When he was living in Germany as displaced person, he was living in what they call camps and housings, projects, and all kind of organizations was trying to find us homes. It was not just United States alone. It was Australia, Argentina, Brazil, Canada, what have you, England, Holland, and so forth. And
but not this, Russia.
Not Russia, no, because we fled from there. They wanted us.
Nobody would go back, though.
They had come out, people who spoke Latvian, and gave us speeches that the homeland, motherland, asked us to come back, and we would just overturn their cars, and then people had to come in. We had small riots going on in the camps. But anyway, this Church World Service was directly involved in that.
Right.
My family and I came to this country. Here in the States, they send out ministers mostly, and in this case was a Baptist minister who was giving speeches through the country and gave a speech at Kiwanis Club, where Mr. Schrobetis belonged to, and was telling about these unhappy people who sit there and don't have nothing to do and waiting for a new home. So Mr. Schrobetis needed a farmhand, and since, like I mentioned that before, I studied agriculture, so I have some knowledge of farming, naturally not so modern like here in the United States is, but still I have the knowledge, and I think I adapted pretty quick to the job here, and so he sponsored then, and they notified me that if I would like to come to Michigan, Coldwater, and it wouldn't matter to me where.
For the hot water or what?
It mattered to me where. But I came here and I was really happy. Because
your entire family were able to come too?
Yes. My wife and my daughter.
My son
was born here.
What about your parents?
My parents came 1 year later when I asked Mr. Schrobetis to sponsor them. And
great.
He did too.
So
we never been in any welfare or anything, social aids.
A lot of Indians can't say
right,
that.
Right.
Then did you work for him?
I worked for him for 2.5 years, 3 summers. We came on 18th of July, we came to New York City, and on the 19th he was here. And I worked for 2.5 years, and then Solomon is the town where they was shooting the V2s to
it. Oh, yes. Over into England.
Yeah.
But that's all.
That's through Poland, Danzig, and into Germany.
That all ended up in American occupation, right?
No, that was not. That was the British took it, but they retreated back too. Oh. And the Soviets was given after they had already a treaty with all the three top, Roosevelt and Stalin and Churchill.
Churchill, yes.
They had a treaty that the Soviets gonna go that far. So this is all on the Soviets now. Where I finished the war. But the British backed out and the Soviets moved in, but of course I was taken by the British, so we moved out.
So you went with them?
But
when you say you, did that include your family?
No.
Then you had to...
No, my parents was already in German someplace south, where I found them afterwards.
So you had to get back together again. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a very interesting history, and it's easy to see why you appreciate the things we have over here that we neglect to even think about.
Right. That's what, like I say, it burns me up that some people are here protesting against things, belonging to this Communist Party, and thinking that they're going to make the world better. That is not possible. The Marxism is not the right thing. Maybe on a piece of paper theory, it's all right. I don't know. I learned it too while the communists was in our country, but that is just theory. If you don't have competition, it don't work.
And you have no human rights either.
In the Soviet Union, if they have centralized everything and they tell you you have to work your fields before such and such date, and maybe it is in our country at that time still snow, so the people don't care anymore. They just throw the seed on the ground in the snow. Doesn't matter. That happened.
Right.
And that's no wonder why the Soviets are constantly short on grain and agriculture products.
An excellent point. I hadn't thought about it. We all know that they've had low crops at times.
Yes.
Not even failures, but they haven't been able to feed their own country.
Well, because they are all centralized. They centralized like from Moscow to every place in the Soviet Union. And they are bureaucrats.
They think for the people and they can't do it.
It's not possible because of the weather, because of different circumstances. But that is not the concern of the central. They just give you that order and that be done. And since the people are so low paid and they all equal supposedly, so they don't care.
They get to pay whether it comes
or not. And farmer now in the Soviet Union don't work like we do here when we have a bad weather coming and the hay is out, we go Sunday out, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Up there, they work there 8 hours and that's it.
Because there's no profit.
Right. And they don't care anymore.
They eat. That's...
Well, one good thing is about competition in the free enterprise.
Hope we can always keep it because...
I hope so.
I think of anything that we've got to fight is... which a lot of people recognize, but maybe not enough, is a central government can become so bureaucratic that...
Yes.
That it doesn't know what it's doing. This has been very interesting, and I don't know if I have any more questions to ask about them. You gave a good explanation of it. I have one question that comes to mind. Do you think there's any possibility that we will ever know the true story on her return? Do you think she's too censored?
I doubt it, because that is a small thing, actually, and I don't think that will be forgotten, and nobody will pay any more attention. Maybe if she continues to dance, but as I understand it, her colleagues ignore her right now, because she submitted to the Soviet agents.
I'll see.
Yeah. This is the explanation.
Yes, I see now.
So, maybe she is going to have a career. She's going to continue dance. Maybe she will end up someplace else. And but he won't know it.
Do you think she has any chance of ever coming over again with another?
No, that's for sure. He won't let her in. That's for sure.
Yeah. We're afraid they couldn't pull it the second time.
That's it.
Especially her mother is along in years, I think, isn't she? Quite old?
Yes.
So if she dies, they may not have any hold on her.
Well, this is one thing. The Russian people are very close to family. So are other nations, I guess, everybody. But the Russian people are very close to families. And if these agents, the one mentioned, KGB agents, they know how to persuade people. They will give her the most horror stories, what they would do to her mother and what have you there. And this could break her right there.
She has no choice, really, but to play it safe, doesn't she?
Right.
And believe them. Right.
So?
So what?
Well, this is what puzzles me. Why didn't she want to talk to her husband before departure? And they were sitting there. They asked her, would you like to talk to her husband? She didn't answer. She didn't want to talk. So it was already all made out. You better be quiet or else.
And no use even talking to him because wouldn't make any difference.
They was telling her, she sits in the Soviet airplane, she can't get out anyway, so just as well be a good girl.
That's right. Yeah. It's a really tragedy.
Yes.
And the... Is it Souls and Heights? Is that the way you pronounce that? Solzhenitsyn, is that the way you pronounce it?
Solzhenitsyn.
Solzhenitsyn,
yeah.
Yes. How did he get out?
Well, he was dispelled out of the country because there was a...
He wrote
maybe
the book.
He would, you know, he was in Siberia for quite a long time. Then he wrote all these books about the life in Siberia and so forth. And if he would be just a small writer, nobody maybe would pay attention. But he was a big writer. The books came to the United States, was smuggled out.
Yes.
So people started getting interested. And our government was kind of wondering about him. So they couldn't just liquidate him like they would gladly do it. So they did dispel them.
That's interesting because I heard an awful lot about him, read a lot about him, but I didn't realize that he didn't really escape. He was
escape. They told him, get on the plane tomorrow morning and out you go. You just threw him out. And it is actually hard for a person. This is his motherland. You know, I was 5 years old, okay. But how would you feel of a sudden to go to a country you can't speak the language? Used to live on your life.
It would be shocking, wouldn't it?
Right.
Yes, it would be.
It's hard.
Yes.
Because commerce is the party, the Russian people is something else. The Russian people, they don't have to be communists. They just, as a matter of fact, there is a very small percentage in the Soviet Union party members, less than they say in Germany, in East Germany.
How do they keep control then? By the police?
Right, that is a police state. It is controlled by nobody trusts nobody. Even, you can't trust even your own children, because they are brought up through all these pioneer clubs and special kindergarten clubs where they are taught so that they just would squeal in their pants if they would say something bad.
In other words, the state is brainwashed of a sort of, huh?
Oh, yes. Oh,
right.
Yes. I know when I was in college, if you would get together like maybe five guys just maybe to study, and somebody would disappear pretty soon, put in jail, because somebody squealed already on us that we was there together, and they figured that we was talking something against the country.
Is this in Latvia?
Yeah, in Latvia.
But it was communist control.
That was communist control, and when the Soviets were given our country.
When the communists controlled it, did they put in their own officers, or did they allow elections?
Yes. Like in my college, of a sudden there was Latvian people, but they was communists. Of a sudden they came from Soviet Union. They didn't have their communist Latvian people living. So they sent them, and all of a sudden there was, in all these places where some owner of a factory and so on, they disappeared. They was arrested because they was exploiting the masses, the people. This is what always is, was that sin, what they were.
That's what they said it was.
Yes.
Accused.
Yes.
And you had no way of defending yourself.
No, right? No. That's what I say. Like for example, a barber would small barber shop, and he had just one man working for him. He would be thrown out because he was exploiting this other guy. See?
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah. And so this everything is belongs to the state. It's not anymore. There is no private enterprise at all.
That's where the word comes from, isn't it?
Yeah.
Common ownership or communist.
Yeah. We had the first time the Soviets came to our country, everything belongs to the people, what they say. But right away they put in front of the university a soldier guard. We didn't have these kind of things.
That's a good sign. I mean, a good indication of how...
We had to show our passes that we had to go in there. Nobody who is not a student wouldn't even go think they're going. What for?
They have no right.
They put on, even if it was, the people was the owner of everything. But they still got control. You can't go in here, you can't go in there. It belongs to you, but that's...
Yeah. Well, we've taken about an hour, and I'm about the end of my tape.
Well,
thank you very much.